This week on the Time Bat Show.
It's the most camel-y place.
When I imagine camels, I imagine Egypt.
Imagine someone on a camel in Egypt, like riding next to the pyramids or something like that.
Singing like, I come from a land from a faraway place.
Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show. I'm your host, Time Asus.
And I am your host, Bat Snacks.
And it's episode 75 today.
Episode number 75.
Which is a milestone I never thought we would actually get to. And yet, here we are.
Crazy, isn't it? I remember back around episode 2 or 3.
in the good old days.
In the good old days. Uh-huh. Back more than a year ago. Almost a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, okay, we're never going to reach 100. Like, that'll never happen.
Uh-huh.
But if we reach 75, then 100 is guaranteed.
Ooh, interesting thought process. So you think we're definitely going to reach 100 now, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I thought back during 2 and 3. Now, one of us could get hit by a meteor.
Yeah, I was going to say, save for, some terrible accident, we'll probably hit 100.
I think we can. Like, it's very doable.
So, what are the things that would make us not do 100 at this point? Let's think.
As meteors.
Okay, meteors hitting either of us.
Yes.
Some horrific accident.
If
one of us, severed their vocal cords and some... This is so terrible.
That would do it. If I lost my job, it would be terrible, and it might be a struggle, but I could probably, do it at the public library.
But you would pull it out.
I could pull it out.
I would love those shows where it's just like, "Hi, I'm
so good.
I'm Bat Sex.
I'm in the public library.
I've rented a room. I've secured this. Oh, you couldn't? No, you can rent them for free at the library.
No, you can't. I mean, I thought you meant overnight. You can't have an overnight room at the library. But they'll give you a conference.
No, I meant you could do the show in there.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be so depressing. Hi, it's like, hi, I'm Tomasis. And I'm Bat Snacks.
Do you ever think about situations like that? Like, I'm not in any danger of being homeless, but if you were, do you ever think about, what you would do?
Yes, I do. It's weird for me because, I have enough of a safety net that's probably never going to happen to me and I'll be okay. But I still, think about it. I'm, paranoid about it all the time.
Yeah, same.
Even when I know that, I have enough saved up that I will be good, I'm like, oh, it's not enough. Because what if all these terrible things happen in a row? Yeah.
It's like, I could lose my job, and then the stock market will crash.
And then someone could break into my house and burn it down. And then my car could get exploded. Right?
That happens.
all those things, together would completely screw me. But, yeah. I do think about
that.
And
then all my family would just, ignore me.
They'd be like, you're on your own. You're on your own. You're like, can I live with you or something? And they're like, well, sorry, you're on your own now.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my God. Good luck out there.
But yeah, my strategy, I would do the public library strategy personally.
That's smart. I would try, what book is that where the kids go to a museum and live there? Oh, God, what book is that?
I know what you're talking about. Like, there's another one where they're at the zoo.
It's like Mrs. Claire Bottom's Magical Museum or something like that.
Yeah, is that what that Ben Stiller movie is based on?
No. Oh, but different. Basically, these kids run away from home, and they go to the museum, the National History Museum, and they live there.
Uh-huh. And that's a weird choice.
They, befriend one of the museum curators or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in, one of these, renovated back rooms in the museum that is, currently not used for exhibits or whatever. Boom. Yeah.
Nice.
And they can go in the National History Museum because it's free,
So that's one of the perks of living there.
I mean, right? What is the name of this
thing? Choose the library.
Thing?
At least the library has
kids
anime
live
and
in
stuff.
Museum. It's like Miss Claire Bottom's Museum of the something. Okay, I found.
What is it called? It's we need to know.
From the mixed up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frank Wheeler.
Claire Bottoms was a little off.
Claire Bottom, Frank Wheeler, whatever. I mean, they both had really weird names.
Yeah.
And these kids, yeah, they're in a library. I don't know why it's called Basil E. Frank Wheeler, but whatever. It's fine. So, yeah. If we were both unemployed, you'd do library, I'd do museum. Interesting enough, we'd both go to, like, government-funded public...
Yeah, public
places.
Access places.
Smart, smart. What do you... Have you ever thought about being unemployed, like, together, like, with somebody? Specifically yeah. with me?
Yeah, of course I have.
We talked about this, like, at the end of the show last time, but we didn't mm-hmm. really get into it.
It wasn't actually on air. It was after
it was
air.
After.
We were talking about... I think you were, like, renewing your contract soon, and I'm uh-huh. looking for a job, too, and it's kind of like...
And it's like, what if, in some weird way... I became unemployed, and then you did at the same time. And for some reason, you, like, moved here, or I moved there, or something. Yeah. And then we're just... And then we're just, like, living together because, like, we can. Because, like, you know, it's expensive out there. It's
yeah,
like, we're living together, and we're both unemployed. And then we have, like, some misadventures in unemployment to try to scrape...
Totally
just try to scrape by. And I think the idea was you would start, like, a... I don't remember what it was. Oh, I was going to say it was a bar, but that's too expensive. You would open a 7-Eleven with 7-11 your savings.
A little corner store.
And I would work there for you. And it would be like a really awkward thing.
Yeah, an awkward relationship. Because I would like, I would not be able to pay you very much money because it's a 7-Eleven. I could only pay you like $5 an hour. Under the table.
But I would let you live at my place. So it would be like, it's weird.
It feels kind of like I'm getting the better end of the deal. But
but you're giving me a job, so.
Yeah, but you're giving me a place. Like, rent is worth so much more than what I would be paying you.
I think we should do this, though.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Yeah, I'll just quit, and you quit, and then we'll do it.
I think that would be the greatest thing ever. We could do so many cool creative projects.
Sometimes I kind of like, this is a terrible thing to say, but sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe I should be unemployed. Because then it forced me to like do cool stuff. But then when I actually am unemployed, and I've been unemployed before, I don't do any of this. That stuff that I say I could do. Because the problem with that is like, doing anything takes money, even if you're employed or unemployed.
Yeah.
And while I'm employed, I'm too busy. Or, you know, I'm trying to save money for something. And then when I'm unemployed, I'm like, well, I can't afford that now.
Yeah, it would be very selfish for me to try to do something cool when I'm unemployed.
Yeah, because, like, I need to save money while I'm unemployed. So, like, either way, I can't. So, one, I don't have time, and one, I don't have money. If I could just win the lottery or something, that would be easiest, you know.
Yeah.
And then we could just do whatever we want, whenever we want it.
I wish I could start a lottery, dude. That's the greatest business ever.
Starting a lottery?
That's the best business model.
It is.
People give you money, and you just give them less back. It's perfect.
Whoever came up with the lottery is like the most brilliant man or woman in the history of the world.
Yeah. It's the greatest business.
Here's the money. All right. You're probably not getting anything back.
Here's 20% back.
And I'll keep the rest.
And people are happy. They love it.
Like, this is the best thing ever. I love the lottery. It's like the biggest... I don't even understand.
There's nowhere else in the world where someone can give you, like, all of their money. And you'll be like, here's 20% of that value back. And they'll be like, yeah,
I won a little bit. You can't start a lottery, though. It's against the law.
I know.
I do think
Trust me, I would have.
You would have by now. We would already be a millionaire if you could have done that. Because the internet lottery would be, like, the coolest thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you could cross state lines. Just have an internet lottery every month.
Yeah. This reminds me of a really, really interesting EVE Online scam that mm-hmm. had to be stopped by, like, laws.
Yeah, what's that?
People started a lottery in EVE, and it got so big that, like, CCP had to shut it down because of laws.
Wow. So they, like, determined it wasn't actually legal or whatever?
Yeah, it was illegal. The person that ran it made off with the money and bought a house.
Yes! But they got away with it enough to where they get a house, probably, so.
Yeah, for sure.
So you gotta be, like, the first person to do it, you know, before they realize it's illegal. It's like, oh, I'll be the first guy to make a lottery on EVE Online, and then they'll not allow it. But too late, I've already got all the money, you know.
Here's the plan. Next MMORPG, we got to get in early.
Ground floor.
And we'll start a lottery.
And then we'll hold the economy hostage, basically.
Yeah.
And
we should quit our jobs and be unemployed together and just play that game all day.
This sounds like a sitcom.
There's
like,
a business plan.
I want this to see this TV show where two people are unemployed and every episode is just them trying to find a get-rich-quick, like, scheme. Yeah. Like, every single episode.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Getting a job is off the table.
Yeah, they're like, no job. Been there, done that. Not a fan.
That'd be so much fun, though.
They need to find, like, every episode is them trying to find the next get-rich-quick scheme. Like, that's the entire episode. And it starts with, like, a brainstorm session of, like, what went wrong in our lottery scam?
And one of them, like, that's the perfect idea. Let's play an MMORPG and start a lottery and then take all the money once we get it.
Yeah.
It's the good. Perfect scheme.
It is a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to keep on the lookout for MMORPGs happening, and then we'll jump on them immediately.
Quit our jobs and go do it.
Yeah, for sure. Would you be a kind of person that, like, plays video games all day if you could? Like, in a...
No. I know for a fact I would.
Really?
I've been unemployed before. I basically just played video games
I can't... All day. Like, I love video games, but, like, I can't... Like, as I've aged, I realize I can't play them for a marathon anymore. Like, I get bored.
Well, that's...
That's on you.
I don't want to talk too much about when I was unemployed. I wasn't doing things that were very savory for this podcast.
Sure, but I know what you mean. I don't know. Like, I get bored of playing video games pretty quickly. Unless it's, like, really, really good. But a lot of people, like... I don't know. There's a lot of people that, like, all they do in their entire life is play video games. You know what I mean? Like that's, like, their whole... thing. Like, they come back from work and they play video games, and that's it. You know, repeat over and over. Work, sleep, play video games. Eat, obviously, too.
It doesn't sound too bad if that's your thing.
It doesn't sound too bad, and I like to think that as a teenager, like, that was what I aspired to, like, do with my life, you know?
Now, we did way cooler stuff than that.
What do you mean?
Like, we didn't just play video games. Oh, we got bored of those
sometimes. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, now, you would think that, oh, I could do that all day or whatever. But I come home from work, and, like, most of the time, I'm like, I don't want to play anything. Like, I get bored of video games super easily now. And I'm just like,
I mostly play games to relax.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It just seems like a lot of games take a lot of effort now. And it's like, oh, you need to do all this stuff before you can do the good stuff in this video game. And I'm like, okay. This is, like, the opposite of why I'm playing a video game right now.
Yeah?
That's, like, my biggest...
I'm gonna make you earn the fun.
Like, I don't want to earn the fun. I just want to have it. Just give me it. For free. I paid for it. I don't know. Some games are worth earning it, but a lot of the time, I'm just, like, annoyed at them most of the time.
Yeah, I feel that.
A lot of, like, big-name games do that now. You, like, pay $60, you put it in, and they're like, all right. Here's this tutorial for 6 hours teaching you the ins and outs of the game. And also here's some exposition that you don't care about at all. And some characters you absolutely hate. And I'm like, oh my god.
And you need to grind items for them and then you can have fun with them.
And I'm like, I would rather be peeling off my toenails right now than playing this game. So, I don't know. Sorry, I'm done with my rant on the state of video games. So a lot of, like, the stuff I play is, like, little small fun stuff. It's just like, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, I want to play a video game. Like, a video game to me is not something, like, I mean, I could name, like, infinity games, but I just want simple puzzle action.
I mean, I can get behind stuff that engrosses me, but it has to be, like, really good at doing that, and most of the time, it's not, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it has to really draw me in. Like, I think Fallout does that really well.
Yeah,
some games like Fallout, Deus Ex, like, they can really grab me, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And, like, it's complex, but it's, like, cool, and I'm, like, engrossed. Other games, they're like, we're gonna grab you, and I'm like, I'm not even enjoying
the premise. This is when you're supposed to be grabbed. Press A to be grabbed.
Like, press A to feel emotions here, and I'm like, no.
Like, no, that's, no.
Press A to be grabbed. Oh, I love it. That's like most video games today. Press A to be grabbed. Like, you feeling that? You feel that? You feel this? You feel that?
Your controller's vibrating. That's how you know you're having feelings. Like,
the character's crying, your controller's vibrating, and you're pressing A all at the same time. That's how you can tell that you're connecting with the character. Meanwhile, I'm just like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
I would rather, like, sort through, like, old boxes in Fallout 3, trying to find a piece of corn.
Right, to, like, craft the, like, corn gun or something.
Yeah. That's a million times more interesting.
And press A to be grabbed. I just love that so much.
It's because games like Fallout are detailed. They have incredible detail. This is, like, loosely related, but there's some. All right, I'll just say it. There's a new movie coming out, and it's going to be the third movie in a trilogy of a movie series that I really enjoy because it's extremely detailed.
What trilogy is that?
Rob Zombie is making a new House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, I heard about this.
Devil Rejects movie.
I heard about this.
Three from Hell, I think.
Yeah.
He just started filming it this week, and those are some of my favorite horror movies ever made.
Really?
Because I feel like he has amazing passion for horror movies, and all, like, every shot in the movie,
and it shows
cool. Yeah, it has, like, cool horror artifacts all throughout it.
That's cool. So, like, you can really appreciate the detail he goes to get right.
Yeah, like, in the first movie, House of a Thousand Corpses, the very beginning of the movie, there's, like, a horror tour ride through, like, a haunted gas station type park place.
Sure.
Yeah, and there's, like, Frankenstein, and there's tributes to all kinds of horror.
So there's, like, Easter eggs all over the place, basically. Yeah, well, not even Easter eggs. There's a
really good atmosphere.
Not really Easter eggs, because they're just there, so it's, like, all the details are there. And they, like, details really get you almost subconsciously into the story, you know?
Yeah, it makes the world bigger.
Feel real and, like,
yeah,
it grabs you, if you will. Yeah.
It's like Fallout. Like, you're searching the box for the corn, and you gotta find the, like, Abraxo cleaner.
Yeah, I mean, I love being grabbed in video games and movies, but I just feel like a lot of stuff, like, tries, and then it fails, and there's nothing worse than something trying to grab you over and over and just failing one after another, because at that point, you're just not doing anything. You're just like, it's like, feel things, and I'm like, I feel nothing! Can I just play the game? You know? So,
yeah.
That's me. What else did we want to talk? I don't even know where we are in this pod. Oh, we had a lot of topics today, I feel like.
We have, like, tons of stuff to talk about.
Okay, we'll get into something.
So, do you want to talk about something, like, silly or something more serious?
Just pick something. I don't care.
Okay, so today at lunch, I was eating lunch and I texted you.
Oh, yes. Your text exchange.
This is important to me. I, like, this is a big part of my life. I texted you and I asked, have you ever heard of the Captain's Wafers?
And I, like, texted back immediately, yes, I love Captain's Wafers.
So the Captain's Wafers are those individually wrapped crackers that you get at the restaurant.
They're usually at the salad bar, you know, the soup salad bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just the name Captain's Wafers brings up a lot of images in my mind. I imagine, like, there's a captain and he's on the ship
and he makes wafers.
On his desk, there's, like, brass navigating instruments, and he's got, like, a little tin full of wafers.
Why would he have that?
Because they're the captains.
Are they individually wrapped in the tin, though?
Yeah, he likes them that way.
Maybe. See, I always thought, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, I always assumed Captain's Wafers were invented, this is going to sound really dumb, but whatever, it's fine, we're already in on it. So, like, you know, like, clam chowder?
Yeah.
You eat that with, like, crackers and stuff.
Crackers.
So I thought Captain's Wafers was like made to go in clam chowder, and they call it Captain's Wafers because that's how the captain ate his clam chowder.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. That might be totally off base.
Yeah, my lore behind the Captain's Wafers were that they're like reserved for the captain.
Like only the captain can get these.
Yeah, like, and that way, you know, when you go to these restaurants, you steal a handful of them.
I get like a bunch every time I go somewhere.
Yeah, that's like you're stealing from the captain. That's like mutiny.
Yeah. You so can't.
Whenever I steal captain's wafers.
You think about stealing from the captain?
Yeah.
Really? Is that what goes through your head?
Yeah, I imagine that I'm stealing from the captain, and I could be like mutinied for that.
Now, is this captain like a naval admiral guy, or is he like a pirate?
It could go either way. Either way, you don't want to steal from
him. I'm imagining more of like a formal Navy man, you know?
Same.
Like a Queen's Navy kind of thing.
Yeah.
He has a nice...
Court-martialed for
stealing. He's a nice blue and white hat. His beard. Pipe. And a beard. Yeah. No, we're thinking of like the same person. He like smokes his pipe, listens to like old records in his captain's quarters, and eats crackers.
He kind of looks like Captain Crunch.
Yes. But less Santa Claus-y than Captain Crunch. Yeah,
less friendly.
He's like grizzled and kind of not mean. I would say stoic is a good word to describe the captain.
Yeah.
You know, he's very stoic.
Anyway, I wanted to share that with the class.
I love Captain's Wafers. I steal them all the time. When I was a kid, there's a restaurant called Jason's Deli. They have them all around Florida. And they have them here, too. But... there's just like a deli, like a chain. And they have Captain's Wafers at the salad bar. Have you ever been to Jason's Deli?
Of course, yeah. Okay.
They have Captain's Wafers at the salad bar, and they have the wheat ones and like the white ones or whatever. And every time I go, I steal like 80. Like I take like pockets full back home because I love them so much. And they're like all buttery and delicious. I don't know. They're really good.
Yeah, they're extremely good. But you're stealing from the captain. And you could be
mutinied for that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I saw a really weird story on the internet this week. I don't remember if I linked it to you. I tweeted it out, which is a different topic. We can talk about Twitter in a second, but this is the really weird story. And the story is that there's this company out of California. I don't know. Some
I think it was California.
Some state without laws on this kind of thing. But basically, the premise of the company... Have you heard of, like, cryopreservation? Like,
like they allegedly did with Walt Disney.
Walt Disney, which I don't think is true. But yeah, like, they freeze their body, and then maybe in the future we'll find a way to, like, resuscitate them back into consciousness or something. Once medical, you know, technology gets there or something. So this, instead of that... It basically is this procedure that they haven't done yet, but they're, like, researching how to do. Which is basically take someone's brain and, like, upload it to, like, some mainframe for safekeeping. And then hold on to it until some point in the future when we can, like, download the brain and, like, put it in a robot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is, like, a very science fiction-y kind of premise. It's like Ghost in the Shell, basically, you know?
Yeah.
Basically the same premise. But here's the kicker, okay? In order for them to do this, they have to, like, kill you first. Like, that's how it works. Because there's some law that prevents them from doing it without, I don't know, killing you or something. It's weird. So basically...
No, I think the procedure is actually fatal. Like, they have to put weird chemicals in your brain that will kill you.
Oh, they have to put chemicals, and I think... In the end, they have to slice your brain up, which obviously will kill you. So they have to, like, remove your brain, slice it up, and then, like, upload the slices, like, the images of the slices. So, like, in order to get that brain information, they have to, like, take it out of your head.
Yeah, you must be dead.
So that's
must be fresh.
So that's the fatal part. So the way they're spinning it is it's, like, a euthanization kind of thing. So, like, the only states they can do this is are states where it's legal to euthanize people. So I don't remember if it's California or not, but... It might be. It's either California or some other state on the western, you know, Pacific area. But basically, if you're going to, like, die soon, you could be requested to be euthanized by this company who will basically put you under and then chop your brain up and then upload it to the cloud. And I think that's a little scary. slash crazy and wild. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, without getting into something like medically induced euthanasia and stuff, without getting into the ethical argument, like,
I mean, there's a lot of ethical arguments to get into there, obviously. Yeah. But without getting to that, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, without getting into that, like, it's pretty much, okay, the way they described it in the article was, the user experience is identical to physician-induced euthanasia, and that's just a freaking hilarious statement, like, the user experience.
The other part of the article is really funny, now you mentioned user experience, is this company is funded by, like, a startup, think tank kind of thing? Like,
it's a Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's like a Y Combinator, like a startup accelerator. So it's like a bunch of people pitching this idea to investors, and they're like, this is a great idea, here's a lot of money. So it's like literally a, yeah, it's like an investment thing. So they're like pitching it like a Silicon Valley investment thing. It's super weird.
All right, do you want to know why I don't think this will work?
Why
I think this is just the stupidest thing?
Why?
So the way I understand the technology is that they're taking pictures of your brain.
Yes. They slice it up and then they take pictures of it.
They slice it up and they take pictures. Uh-huh. And yes, their pictures are accurate down to the neuron. Maybe. They haven't confirmed that. But right. even if they are, let's just say they are. That's like best case scenario.
They're really good. They're perfect almost.
You can't do shit with that. There's nothing you can do with that.
Yet. I think that's their point, though.
No, you'll never be able to do anything with that.
I think their point is that...
I know what their point is, but like, think about it like this way. You know how you have ROMs and emulators?
Yeah.
In order to play a ROM, you need an emulator.
Right. So is the brain the ROM in this case?
Yes, the brain isn't... What they're doing isn't even a ROM of the brain.
It's like
if you took a picture of an NES cartridge.
I like this
analogy.
That
doesn't help you, even if you have an emulator, which, no, it's going to be a long time before we have a brain emulator.
Yeah. I think their idea... No, I understand what you're saying. But you're right. Yeah. Their idea is that at some point in the future, some really smart person is going to figure out how to make a brain emulator... And also figure out how to translate the data they've gathered into a brain pattern.
The data they've gathered is useless. There are so many connections with the brain, you would have to by hand, like...
solder all that, like, together. Like,
I don't know. The only way to make this work is to create a machine that will make brain ROMs that are programmed in a way that they can be read by an actual emulator.
Okay, so you're saying instead of them doing it, like, they're doing it backwards. They're basically, like, making something and then being like, well, hopefully someone can figure out how to use this later. They should be doing it the other way. They should make a machine that already emulates the brain, and then that machine uses the brain scans to, as close as it can, match that with, like, how the machine is working. Is that what you're saying?
First step is building the emulator.
You need to make the machine so you know what data you need to put into the machine.
Yeah, otherwise, like, brains are very complicated. You can't...
I see.
You can't just take a picture.
I'm going to make an analogy now. This is good. So it's like, okay, this is like programming. And, like, you're, like, defining all your variables first before you know what you're even doing yet.
Yeah.
And then you start coding... And then you're like, oh shit, I need like 80 more things that I didn't think about, but it's too late because the brain is already gone. So you can't go back and like find out more about it. So like you need the code first of like, here's what I need. And then you need to go back and like find a way of getting that data from the brain. Yeah.
I mean, maybe this thing will be able to take perfect images of a brain, but I don't think those will ever be usable.
I think you're right, though. I think you need a way to emulate it first, because only then can you figure out, okay, here's what I actually need to get from a brain. Because right now they're just like, we're getting as much as we can, hoping that it's enough stuff to do something, but like, yeah. Also, why would anyone invest in this? It makes zero sense to invest in. Because it's not like going to be a return on your investment in any, like, feasible amount of time.
No.
Like, why do people invest in stuff that's like 100 years in the future? They're going to be dead by the time it goes. Like,
you're never going
to
get.
What the hell is the point of that?
Yeah.
The only time to invest in this is if your dad invests it for you when you're like 3 years old. Then I could see, like, okay, maybe by the time this kid is like 80, he'll get a return on this investment. But otherwise, the hell's the point? So I kind of feel like they're just kind of misleading people.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, hey, we got a brain scan thing, and an investor's like, oh, here's some money. When am I going to get my return on investment? And they're like, I don't know. We'll see.
Probably never.
Probably never. Actually, probably never, and definitely not in your lifetime. So it's like, why invest, you know?
Yeah. I think another like really funny line from that article was that their target audience was people who will believe it works. What?
So they're the same target audience as like a cult or like any any like
anyone who will just buy this bullshit is
anyone who is willing to believe that this bullshit is gonna work, then that's our audience.
Yeah.
Rich people with disposable income that will believe anything. That's our audience.
I was gonna say, like, I think brain uploading will be a thing eventually. I think that's gonna happen. But
yeah.
I don't think this is how we get there.
No. I think you're onto something, though, with the... You have to develop the machine that emulates the brain before you can even begin to understand what you need from the brain.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that machine, you're working blind. You're working in the dark. You're like, I guess we need these things. I don't know, though.
Maybe we needed something in the spine, too.
Yeah, I mean, potentially. We don't know how... We still don't know a lot about how, like, that stuff works, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, how does someone, you know, get their... How does consciousness come about? I know there's a lot of weird ethical questions here, too. And, like, philosophical. Like, would I still have a consciousness after this happens? Would I be, like, a different person? Or would I be the same person?
Yeah.
You know?
If you want to go super, super, super deep, I think... No, never mind. Maybe we shouldn't go.
No, I want to. Let's just give it a couple minutes. And then we'll move on to something silly. Okay.
The way I think it works is consciousness is separate from the body. You're basically, when you want to go for a walk outside, you're deciding to take your body for a walk.
For a walk, yeah.
Yeah.
Your body's like...
Like, hey, like a thing. If I walk my bat snacks every day, he'll feel better. He'll feel healthier. He'll be outside.
You need to take care of it, like a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle.
For your consciousness. So if you image someone's brain... I mean, maybe it'll be able to mimic certain physical things that I did, but I don't think it's going to capture everything.
It's not going to be you.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. I mean, it's a different thing. It's like a copy of you.
Yeah.
With maybe it has a lot of things, but it can't have everything because it doesn't have your body.
The driver would be gone.
It doesn't have your body anymore.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. Because, like, I don't
think...
There's
a lot of different...
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to interpret it.
Yeah.
And you get into, like, some religious stuff and, like, philosophy of the mind and stuff like that, but I don't think you're the same person. It's like in The Prestige. We're spoiling that movie again.
Yeah, that's it. It's exactly the same as The Prestige.
It's like we're spoiling that movie again. It's like, you're not the same. Like, the person that comes out of the other side is not the same person.
Yeah.
But they're similar.
If you want to trick people into thinking them it's you, though, it's a good way to make money as a magician.
Right, exactly. Maybe that's what this will be used for.
I hope so.
Oh, they remake The Prestige with this, like, and this is the device. Instead of, like, the weird Tesla Zap thing, it's like this.
Wouldn't that be the coolest fucking thing ever? Like, all right, some, like, brilliant scientist in the future develops brain downloading and whatever. And as, like, the demo to do it, he kills himself.
And then reappears somewhere else in, like, a new body.
Yeah, and he does it as a tribute to that old movie, The Prestige.
This is amazing, like, the same, like, way, and, like, he does it, like, in, like, this big theatrical way, or whatever.
He buys, like, props from Hollywood that were used in that movie.
He uses, like, has, like, a big top hat, or whatever, and then he appears in, like, a robot body on the other end of the stage, and he's like, I'm here, or whatever,
that
and everyone's
the
like,
greatest
oh.
joke ever.
That'd be amazing. You realize what would have to happen for that to work is, like, he falls, like, he does his trick, he steps into the magical portal thing. He's not going to obviously show the operation to the audience. So he'll, like, step into a portal, like, the magic portal thing.
Yeah.
He'll fall through a trap door to the bottom of the stage. A machine will grab him, immediately kill him, yeah. slice his brain up really fast, take a picture, and then, like, upload it to the other,
the
like,
robot body.
Body. And then it'll, like, come to life. And it'll be like, I'm here.
And then he reappears, and it's like, ta-da!
Ta-da!
Maybe, okay, you can do one better. You can, like, download them into 12 bodies, and they do a dance on stage.
They all appear in a different place in the audience, yeah. and then they run up on stage and do, like, the kicking dance. You know, like,
da-da-da-da. The can-can.
Yeah, the can-can. And then, the end of the show, let's say 12 of them, right? 11 of them explode. And then one remains because you can't have multiple bodies. Like, it's illegal.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, all the robots should have, like, a terrible crisis of, like, existential consciousness and, like, kill themselves.
Except the last one. He, like, yeah. he's about to, and then he realizes that everyone else has died, and he's like, oh, okay. Maybe that's how, like, the universe solves the problem of multiple people. Like, eventually, all of them have an existential crisis, but, like, it happens at different times, and, like, yeah. the last one remaining is about to kill themselves, but they're like, oh, everyone's already done it, so I guess I am the only one left,
I'm
you know?
Good now.
So I'm good, yeah, I'm, like, I'm fine. I love this movie.
That's, I mean, that would, that I love this reality.
This
that
is
would
like,
be a real thing.
So this happens. Is, like, the Prestige, like, 2050 or something like that.
Yeah, way, way further than that, like,
the
2500.
The Prestige 2500, yes, that's what it is. I like this weird reality, though. I like how this scientist is super theatrical, too.
I love his sense of humor. Like,
all the other robots kill each other or themselves, and then one remains.
Yeah, like, they don't anticipate that. Like, that's...
No. But, like, the original guy knows that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he's done this before with somebody
else.
And
he thinks it's really funny.
And he's like, I know what's going to happen. They're going to kill each other. Yeah. And they do a dance first, and then they're like... Then they, like, start looking around, and they're like, wait a minute. What's happening? Why are we all the same person? And then they murder each other.
That's amazing.
This is great.
Speaking of weird futurist things like that, Stephen Hawking, famous astrophysicist and futurist, passed away this week.
He did. Sad.
He did. It is sad. He was a big inspiration for, I think, pretty much everyone in the whole world.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. What a guy.
Like, yeah.
So, you know, he did all of that despite having that neurological disorder.
Which he had since, like, the 70s.
Yeah, so, like, he found out when he was in his early 20s.
Yeah, so he's, like, been going on for a while with that, which is pretty cool that he was able to, like, you know, still do physics, you know, with that.
We were talking earlier this week, though,
mm-hmm.
and I think he might have been... kind of a troll.
I do too. Like, I was reading stuff about him today, and I feel like he reached an age where he's just like, I don't care anymore. Like, I'm just gonna, like, mess with people. Why? Yeah. Do you have an example?
Well, I read his book, A Brief History in Time, and it's a beautifully written book. It's amazing. Sure. But then you read some of, like, the like newspaper interviews he did, and I think he used to really like to troll people.
Like, give an like, example.
As an example, like, one interview I read online, it was like, Stephen's final warning to the human race, we must leave Earth in 200 years. Which, like, first of all, where did he get 200? Like,
he just pulled it out of his
that's
butt.
Such a bullshit number. He's a scientist. He would never say 200 if he meant it.
So you think he's just, like, saying it for fun at this point?
The first reason he gave, I think, was global warming, which, like, for you have to start real and then kind of work into your troll responses.
Yeah, like, okay, global warming. You can see
global
that,
warming, good answer.
Sure.
Next, he was like, AI. And then I was like, wait a minute, Steven. You said 200 years. I don't think AI is going to be that big a deal in 200 years.
What, are they going to, like, take over the world or something?
I don't know. He just, he wasn't specific.
He's just like, AI, it's coming.
Of all, AI.
It's coming.
And then he gets down the list, and now you, like, know he's, like, just messing with you. Because he's just, the next answer was aliens. we have to leave Earth because aliens are going to come and they're going to kill us.
That doesn't make sense. If we leave Earth, can't they just find us wherever we went and kill us then? If they can get here and murder us, can't they just, like, get wherever we're going and murder us,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we're not running very far.
Like, if they can come to us, then us running isn't going to do anything because they'll just warp there and murder us.
Yeah. The explanation he gave was, well, since technologically sophisticated groups of people meeting less technologically sophisticated groups of people has been disastrous in the past on Earth, then it'll probably be really bad for aliens meeting us.
Yeah, for us.
Which, you know, maybe that's... I think what he's really trying to say is, like, shame on you guys for, like, doing what you did, like, to all those people.
So he's,
I don't think
he's making, really, like, a colonization kind of remark here, it sounds like.
Yeah. Whatever. I think he's a troll.
The thing about Stephen Hawking is, like, once he lost his voice and he talked through the computer, you can't tell, like, if he's joking or not because he's computer voice. So, like, when I tell a joke, you know, you can kind of tell by my inflection that it's a joke.
That you're joking.
But if you hear it in a monotone computer voice, you're like, is he being serious or no? I can't tell, you know.
And the thing about him, too, is, like, you know he's smarter than you. Like, no one, like, he's smarter than just about everybody. And who are you to question what he says? So he can kind of get you with that.
That's true. Like, and you don't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
So you think he was just having fun in the
I think he was just having fun. There was another thing he said that I texted you about. It was like, he said, Einstein actually is wrong when he said God doesn't play dice.
Right.
Actually, God loves playing dice. But sometimes he throws the dice where you can't see in black holes.
It's like, what?
Come on.
He throws him into invisible. Like, how far are we taking this analogy? Like, he's like, we're still using the dice. Those are real. Like, we're definitely throwing dice in the universe. There's definitely dice. Okay, guys, we're throwing dice, but this time they're invisible dice, and only
they're gonna land in the hole,
and only God can see what role they happen. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know.
I think he thought he was funny.
I mean, it is funny, though, so yeah, that's fine.
That's really fun.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know, it's sad that he died, but...
Yeah, it is.
He was old, he had a good life for what his condition was and all that stuff, so good for him.
I agree.
Alright, what are we up to now on the show? I'm completely all off. Right.
We're getting... Do you want to move into listener questions, or...?
Do we have more topics to talk about?
We did have one more, if you want to squeeze it in.
What was it?
Well, it kind of goes together with the futurist and
we're
spacey
talking about moon guy. Is that it?
I don't know why we were talking about this before the show, but there's been, I think, 11 people that have been to the moon. But the first trip, I think, that's right. We were preparing for trivia.
We were preparing for trivia, and I was like, "Do you know who this?" Because one of the questions that I was looking at online was like, "Who's the second person on the moon?" And I was like, "Everybody knows that." And so I asked you, like, "Who's the second person on the moon?" And you were like,
Buzz Aldrin.
And I was like, yep, that's right, exactly, Neil Armstrong and then Buzz Aldrin. And I feel like everybody knows that, but then you said...
So, I don't know if many people know this, but there was a third guy that went up with them.
I don't remember his name. Nobody remembers his name.
Do you know why?
What?
Because he had to sit in the lunar capsule while Buzz and Neil were out there golfing and riding in their dune buggy.
We'll call him Capsule Guy, because I don't know the name of him, but he was up there in the capsule. And he was, like, probably looking out the window. What a terrible fate for that guy.
Yeah, thanks. You risked your life to be the first man to like, ride a rocket to the moon.
And he's just, like, chilling. Like, oh, well. Did he even land on the moon, or was he orbiting?
No, he got to... I think
he orbited.
Was just sitting in the capsule.
I think he was just orbiting because
even worse.
You got the lunar lander that lands on the moon, and then you got the thing that's orbiting the moon, so the lander can fly back up to it and they can connect and fly away.
Right.
I think he was in the thing orbiting because they needed a guy there. You know what I mean?
So he didn't even get to the surface.
No, at all. It was just Neil and Buzz, and he was just like, I'll be here.
You guys have fun.
Bye.
What's that you got with you? Is that a golf club?
What are you doing down there? And they're like, oh, we just met some aliens. We're going out for a few beers. We'll be back in a couple hours. Hold the fort down. A couple
rounds of golf.
Hold down the fort. And then you hear like, ooh, nice birdie on that hole, Buzz. Like, thanks, Neil. Did a good job. That's one giant eagle for man, one double albatross for mankind. Okay, that's
really dumb. I don't think anyone in history has been shafted as hard as that man.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like my life is Capsule Guy.
No one remembers your name. You're just stuck up in the capsule watching
Buzz. I'm,
like,
close to doing something good, but, like, I'm never there. I'm, like, looking at it and helping other people do it. Yeah.
Like, wow, that sure looks fun.
Sure looks good. I'm glad I could help them do that fun, good thing that everyone remembers them for and no one remembers me for. Yeah.
I don't remember. I really don't remember his name.
I don't know. We'll look it up after the show. If you know the name of him, tweet at us at TimeBatsHow or email us at contact@timebatshow.com. Should we check our email really quick before we get into questions and stuff? Or do you not even want to do that?
I mean, I don't want to because I think it'll be depressing.
All right, but if you do it really fast. You prepare for the next thing.
Okay.
Capsule Guy. My whole life is Capsule Guy. I feel like that sometimes.
Yeah, like, at least you're a Capsule Guy. I'm Mission Control Guy.
That Mission Control is... I would prefer to be Mission Control Guy than Capsule Guy.
Okay.
If we're being honest.
I'm the janitor that cleans Mission Control.
Okay, that's a better example, yeah. Because Mission Control, you're important, right? Like, you're integral to that, you know? Yeah, you're behind the scenes, but you're important. Everybody remembers Mission Control. Nobody remembers Capsule Guy. That's the problem. Yeah. You know? Capsule Guy's like the understudy in, like, a play that never is used.
Yeah.
You know, like, the actor doesn't ever get sick, so the understudy's just kind of there.
Yeah.
And then the play never happens again, and they don't ever get to be the lead role.
Yeah, you get to practice with all the lead people, and like you go out to drinks with them, and you're their friend and stuff.
And they're like, if I get sick, you're up, man, it's you, you know? And then they're like, and if we do this play again, you're going to be lead. And then they do the play, it's a big hit, and then the president's like, we don't need to go back, we don't need to do the play again. And then you're like, damn it! I wonder if Capsule Guy ever got to go on the moon, like stand on it.
I don't think he did.
It's sad. That's super sad. All right, we have no email. What a surprise!
Yeah, I didn't think so.
All right, let's get into some stuff here.
Our next segment is going to be listener questions. We got a few from someone today.
Woo!
Woo! Thank you, Spitfire_988 on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
So the first question he asks is: are kids walking out on gun laws? Or because they want to skip class.
Oh, you mean like the protest thing?
Yeah.
I'm sure some of them are... I'm sure most of them are doing it in good faith.
Yeah.
But... I mean, I know kids, some of them are doing it to skip class, yes. That's a terrible thing to say, but, I mean, that's how humans are in general.
Yeah.
Like, every time there's a good cause, someone is going to use that good cause in order to do something, get away with something, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's just how people are.
Also, when it comes to causes, there are some people that maybe just want the excitement of being in the moment.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily care about the outcome
one way or another. They probably care a little bit, but yeah, I do think there are certain people that it's more of like the event than the actual thing.
Yeah. Because I remember when I was in high school, we had one protest, and it was over a teacher that got fired.
Did you?
You know, he was probably fired for totally legitimate
reasons. Was this in high school?
Yeah, it was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids staged a protest, and I remember going to the protest without knowing why people were there.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I wanted to be a part of it, because that was, like, cool.
Because it was cool to be protesting. There. I'm protesting, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So you didn't know what the reason was.
Yeah, I didn't know what the reason was.
But you knew people were there.
But I knew people were there, and I knew that I had never heard of a protest before. This was a simpler time. We didn't have stuff like that.
Sure.
But
So you just did it to be part of the group?
Yeah, I do. See, I'm not saying that, like...
Everyone does that.
Everyone is but doing that.
Some people do. I absolutely 100% agree that motivations... But, you know, I think most people are probably doing it in good faith.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah, I can't say.
I don't like to assume people's intentions. Let's just put it that way.
I think the best thing to do is to give people the benefit of the doubt most of the time.
I agree.
Until they prove that...
Until they prove that they cannot... Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't doubt them anymore.
His next question is... Does Trump really eat McDonald's every day, or has he never eaten quality burgers like In-N-Out?
I would like to think Donald Trump eats McDonald's every day.
Same. That's my favorite.
Ideal. Also, not just like burgers, but like breakfast, lunch, and dinner is McDonald's, McDonald's, McDonald's. And he like changes it up slightly. So like,
I think he should do KFC occasionally.
Yeah, like on like a Sunday or something.
Yeah.
You know, like oh, it's KFC today.
KFC is the fancy restaurant.
Right, that's like, he eats it with like a fork and a knife.
Yeah.
Plastic fork and knife in bed at the White House.
Yeah. Gets like crumbs all in bed.
And then like one of the White House like housekeepers has to like comes in with a vacuum. And he's like, hey, Martha. And she's like vacuuming him up as he's eating KFC.
He doesn't want to move, but like...
He's like, I'm watching The View or whatever. I don't know what he's watching. No, he wouldn't watch The View. He's watching Bones. Let's just do that. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
He's watching reruns of something. I don't know.
Yeah. On Netflix. America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, he's watching The Voice. He's watching The Voice.
The Voice. He's like criticizing all the singers, like, oh, she can't sing.
I can sing better than her. She's the worst. She's terrible. I can sing better than her. I can sing better than that guy.
He yells at his maid, listen to me sing.
Listen to me. La 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 la. And then, yeah, he eats KFC in bed, and then she has to, like, sweep up all the mess. But McDonald's, I think breakfast, lunch, dinner. I think they have a McDonald's. Well, if they don't have a McDonald's in the White House, they do now because Donald Trump is in there. So, breakfast. Maybe he gets a McGriddle. You know, I could see him as a McGriddle guy.
Yeah, he doesn't get a normal thing.
No, he gets like a little weird thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are no really normal McDonald's breakfast items.
He doesn't get an Egg McMuffin, though. That's
right. I think a McGriddle is what he would get.
Yeah.
Like with a lot of syrup, like extra syrup. McGriddle extra syrup. Have you ever
had one of those? They're terrible.
I have never had one of those.
They're bad. They're not good.
It's funny. It's funny because, like, the McGriddle thing, I remember them coming out in, like, 2003, I want to say. It was, like, when I was in high school. And I remember they had all these weird commercials for the McGriddle, like how it was, like, half, like, what was it, pancake, half McMuffin or whatever sandwich.
Yeah.
And I thought it was the weirdest thing ever as a kid. I never tried one. I think I was too scared because I don't want to combine sweet and savory, but... They really pumped it hard. Like, they tried real hard to get that to go off. And I guess enough people eat it that it's still on the menu.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's exactly that, though. It combines sweet and savory. Like, the outside is really sweet, and you can't eat it without your fingers becoming filled with maple syrup.
I don't want that. I mean, I love maple syrup, but I don't want... Like, if I had to eat a sweet and savory thing, I would eat it not at McDonald's. Like, I don't trust McDonald's with that balance of flavor, you know? Yeah. Not at all.
Donald Trump does, though.
I mean, he would.
Yeah.
I remember I just saw something on the internet pretty funny that was like a, you've seen those like flashback websites that are like, here's what the web looked like in 2003 or whatever. I saw that for IGN, and there was like a 2003 issue of IGN, and it was going over like some Xbox game, like Halo something, and every ad on the site was for McGriddles. Like, it had like 20 ads. It was all McGriddles. It was all advertising McGriddles. It's like, try one. It's crazy or something. Anyway, so he eats McGriddles for breakfast. Lunch, he gets like, I don't know. I feel like he's like a double quarter pounder guy.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of meat. Like, I need all that meat. And then dinner, he tries to eat a little healthier. So he does like chicken selects.
What kind of sauce do you think he gets?
Polynesian.
Polynesian. Yeah. I've never tried that, but that's... He thinks it's exotic.
Very exotic. Very good. Very exotic. The best.
Polynesia is my favorite country. Is it a country?
I don't even know. No, it's not a country. It's like a set of countries. Oh,
it's
my God.
It's his favorite country, though.
I love people from Polynesia. Polynesian immigrants are the backbone of America.
Why can't we get more of them?
No Mexicans, all Polynesians. That's what I want as president. I can't do a Donald Trump impression. Jaden selects with Polynesian sauce. Exactly. Okay, what was that? Did we have one other question?
Yes. Yeah. How long until robots take over?
Oh, this is like the Stephen Hawking question.
Yeah, Stephen says less than 200 years.
I think it's going to be like 500 at least. If ever.
I don't think robots are ever going to take over.
But if they did, when would it happen?
I don't think ballpark they ever will. We're like way too good at war.
We are good at war.
Yeah.
We are really good at war. If humans have proven something, it's that we're really, really freaking good at war.
Yeah.
Like, so good. And that's something we've learned over, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah.
Robots,
I mean, it's been proven over and over
that again. We're great at it. Like, we're fan. Yeah. Like, we're the best. Like, if we had to rank human capabilities of, like, doing things as a society, it's like, war is number one.
By far.
War, number one. You know, second, far second would be like brewing beer. Like, those are the two top human achievements, you know?
Yeah, war and getting drunk.
Like, those are our two foundational, like, things as humans.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But robots, they would come out, and they'd be like, all right, we need a war with humans. But they wouldn't have any experience with war. Like, we've had thousands of years to learn the ins and outs of how to war. And robots, they don't know. They don't know how to war.
Even if robots outnumbered us, like, 1,000,000 to 1, mm-hmm. we would still win. I'd still put money on
you. Well, we would nuke them. You know, robots wouldn't ever mutually assured destruction because they want to survive. Humans are arrogant enough to do that. You know what I mean? Robots aren't arrogant. They're not going to be like, we could nuke them, but then we would kill ourselves in the process. Humans would totally do that. We would rather every human die then the robots win. You know what I mean?
I was just about to say that's such a uniquely human thing.
It's like, totally true, though.
If we can't win, then
nobody.
No one wins.
Exactly. Like, robots would never do that. They'd be like, no, there has to be a solution where we win. And they would try, you know, they would try needlessly to win, and they would never win, and they would lose. Yeah. We would be like, okay, we're not going to win unless we just blow everything up. And then we'd be like, all right, let's do it. You know? And
I don't think there would be no hesitation. Like, no. That would be the easiest decision.
And that is, it's like the most, like you said, the most human, like, characteristic. Like, if we can't win, then no one can win, goddammit. Because, like, the only thing that matters more important than, that is more important than winning to humans is not losing. Right?
Surviving is a very distant third.
But yeah, it's like, in order, not losing, winning, and surviving. Like, if you can't win, then just don't lose.
Yeah.
And if you can't lose, then survive. So, I don't know. We would do that. Robots would never do that, because they would be too logical for that decision.
Yeah.
They would never murder themselves. Anyway, I feel like we've gotten to, like, a whole show without even getting into Reddit.
Yeah, we'll have enough for next time.
Do you want to do one, would you rather, or maybe a couple before we do trivia?
Yeah, do you want to do, like, one would you rather, one random internet question?
Yeah, and then after trivia, if we have time for another, we'll do a couple more, but otherwise. Yeah.
All right, I'll try to choose a good would you rather.
Choose something, like, funny. You know, I don't need to. We've talked about some heady stuff this episode. Let's just, let's have a little more light, if you will.
Would you rather permanently attacked by a luxury jet?
Okay.
Or sharp meat for a week?
Ooh. Okay, I'm gonna interpret that as eat sharp meat for a week.
I was thinking the sharp meat is attacking you for a week.
Oh, okay, so you're attacked by sharp meat or a jet. Yeah, well, obviously,
a luxury jet.
I would rather be attacked by sharp meat. Because the jet, I feel like it'd just kill me, you know. Also, it could, like, follow me around anywhere.
Yeah, the sharp meat, too, is just for a week.
Yeah, like, they could stab me with, like, ham or something.
That would be a very terrifying monster, just a hunk of sharp meat.
A hunk of sharp meat. That sounds like a David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's like this is the premise, like, some, like radioactive spill, like, spilled into, like, this neighborhood, and it, like, got underneath the foundation of someone's house. and it like creeped into like wherever like there's a lot of smells. I don't know why. So it like gets under the refrigerator somehow.
Yeah.
Right? And then it like worms its way into the fridge. And there's like a big thing of like, you know, like the round ham with like the bone in the middle of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it like gets into that. And then that's like the nerve center of the meat monster. And then it takes all the other like meat from the...
You've got some, like, Jimmy Dean sausages in there.
As the fingers?
Yeah.
And it's, like, eggs for eyes.
Yeah.
It's, like, a carrot nose. Because it needs a nose.
Yeah. It's trying to be human.
And then it has, like, ground beef as, like, the body. It's, like, molded. And I don't know why this person has, like, pounds and pounds of ground beef, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
And the head is, like, a big ham bone thing. Yeah.
And he's sharp, so he, like, puts glass in him, and he tries to hurt you.
He pokes you. Or he just really sharpens the meat. Or he gets, like, the part of the meat. Oh, so he has, like chicken legs or chicken wings, and he uses, like, the sharp part of the bones to, like, stab you. There's, like, leftover KFC in there. And he, like, integrates that into, like, the meat monster thing. That'd be scary. I might choose the jet now because, so with the jet, like, if you survive one attack from the jet, then you win. Because it's the only way to destroy you as a jet is to crash into you.
Yeah, right? It's a luxury jet, not a fighter jet.
Yeah, it's not shooting anything. It literally has to kamikaze into you to win. So if you survive one attack from a jet, from the jet, you win. Now, if you survive one attack from the meat monster, too bad. He's coming after you for like a week. Yeah, so, I think
even if you cut him down, he'll re-meet.
He'll re-meet. Yeah, he'll just... I mean, this is David Cronenberg we're talking about. So he'll just form back up to a meat monster and come back after you, you know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll take him 30 minutes or whatever, but he'll regrow.
I think I agree with you, actually. I would probably choose the luxury jet then.
I would get in a car, drive real fast, and then when the jet looks like it's coming down, I'd just like take a just like an off road or something, or I like get out of the way.
Yeah,
hopefully, I can get out of the explosion radius, and then we'd be good, and that's it. But meat monster would be frightening.
Yeah,
because you never know what form it'll take, too. Right, so like you could like kill the meat monster. But then if, like, one part of the meat survives, it, like, crawls over to some other meat and, like, reforms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, T-1000.
It's like a T-1000 or, like, a snake or lizard or whatever. Like, it regrow limbs. But it just needs one piece to, like, form a new thing, you know? So, like, you got to be on edge, like, a whole week that way. I couldn't. I would die in my sleep. It would kill me.
Yeah, it would probably. It would get me.
It would. It basically is like the plot of Terminator. But with except meat monster, yeah. It sounds like a great alternate cut of that movie.
Alright, and one more before we do trivia.
Okay.
This is a Reddit question, and this question comes from Noob35746. Thank you, Noob35746.
Thank you.
He says, you are an NPC in an RPG game.
Oh my god. Moan. Groan.
What items do you sell?
What items do I sell? I don't know what I would sell. I sell, like... What would you sell?
I think I sell... I don't really make anything.
Yeah, I don't either.
In life.
I got it. I would sell books written by me as the NPC that give you, like... temporarily bonuses to your stats.
So you sell drugs.
Yeah. In the form of books, though. They're like inspirational books.
Yeah.
They're like, good job. You're doing books. A great job today, kid. Something. I don't know. That's what I got.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
That's a good one. I was trying to think of a way to not say drugs, but that's what
I would sell. I mean, don't all NPCs in RPGs basically sell drugs? When you boil it down, everything they give you increases your stats a little bit.
Yeah.
It's all drugs.
Yeah.
They're just
there's like forms. Swords and drugs, and that's it.
Basically. It's like swords and drugs. That's it. And some games go so far as to call the drugs drugs, and others are like, it's a book. It's a
potion.
It's a song that makes you happier or whatever. It's like, no, it's a drug. We know what it is. Just call it drugs. Anyway. Are you ready to get into some trivia questions?
Yes, if you are.
All right. Your trivia today is all themed around animals. Your lifelines, if you would like lifelines, are 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 40-second Ask, 50-50, Monty Hall, Phone a Friend, Ask a Rando, and Rhyme Time. You get to choose three lifelines. Which would you like?
I would like to choose 50-50, Monty Hall, and 5-second Google.
All right. Are you ready for trivia?
Yes. Trivia.
We could just riff on that really long time. Like a 1 minute of like trivia noises. Yeah. All right. Your first category in animal is animal. So this is straight animal.
Okay.
How many taste buds do catfish have? Is it A, one? We haven't even heard the rest of the questions.
Well, I was just thinking, like, how many do they really need?
You haven't even let me finish the... All right, I'm starting with how many taste buds do catfish have? A, 1. B, 12. C, 1,000. Or D, 100,000.
It's got to be 1. It's a catfish. It doesn't care what it eats. I'm pretty sure they eat refuse. They're garbage eaters.
Sure. So, like, it doesn't matter what it eats.
Yeah, the less taste buds they have, the better their stuff is going to taste. Like, they eat garbage.
There's nowhere to, like, taste it. They're just like, it's fine. It's good to me. My one taste bud says this is good.
One, 12...
1,000 or 100,000.
All right. I'm gonna Monty Hall this one because I don't think catfish have 100,000. There's okay. No way.
You shouldn't have told me that. In, you should have told me. Oh, good.
I'm gonna lock in 100,000.
Okay. It's either A, 1 or D, 100,000.
Oh, dude. Oh no.
What?
I didn't think it was 1.
Well,
I thought that was the joke. Is it 1?
I love how like concerned you are. You're like, is it really 1?
There's a big difference between 1 and 100,000.
Oh, I know. I know.
If I'm wrong, it's going to look really bad.
This is a great question.
Like, duh, of course they don't have 1 taste bud. Are you stupid?
It's like, duh, of course they don't have 100,000 taste buds. Are you stupid? I was hoping you would lock at 100,000 so I could do 1 or 100,000.
I know a lot about catfish. I've spent a lot of time around them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that they eat garbage. I know that they've got spines they can stick you with.
Sure. They're really ugly.
As big as horses.
They're really ugly fish.
They're really ugly.
They taste really good.
That depends. You don't want to eat. You don't want catfish sashimi. You don't want to do that.
I would not ever do that. But yeah,
fried. They're pretty good. Yeah. I'm gonna go with 1. Final answer.
1 is incorrect.
I'm so stupid.
They actually have 100,000 taste buds because I was reading they have taste buds all over their body. Like their whole body is covered in taste buds. Isn't that wild?
It's like a defense mechanism.
I don't know. I didn't read that much into it, but it was like their whole body is a taste bud, so they have 100,000 taste buds.
That makes sense. They eat garbage. They need to know like what the good garbage is.
You're really like walking back on your oh it's garbage. They only need 1. They like taste it like yep that's garbage. I'm gonna keep eating it now.
I'm so stupid. I thought they had 1 taste bud.
Oh, that was great. I convinced you that they had 1 taste bud for a little while there.
All right. That's
next,
embarrassing.
Next question. Category is history. What was the nickname for the Hughes H-4 Hercules aircraft that made a single flight in 1947? Are you familiar with this craft?
Maybe. No.
Okay. Was it A, the Merritt Parrot, B, the Spruce Goose, C, the Apollo Swallow, or D, the Applesauce Albatross?
Well, I would like it to be applesauce albatross. I don't think that's the real one. Fair. Spruce goose. Mm-hmm. What was the other ones?
Merit parrot. Spruce goose and Apollo swallow. Notice they all rhyme.
Yeah. Spruce goose, merit parrot.
Apollo swallow.
Apollo swallow.
Applesauce albatross.
Applesauce albatross. I think, okay, so usually I think they name military planes off of dangerous birds mm-hmm. that'll hurt you if you, like, mess with them. And I think geese are the most dangerous of those three birds.
Okay, that's fair.
What was it again? The
spruce goose, merit parrot, Apollo swallow.
This was a big plane?
It was a big plane, yes.
Albatrosses are the biggest bird.
Yep, it's that. It's the applesauce albatross.
I'm going to Google it.
You can use your Google?
Yeah, I think, though, it's...
Yeah, what's your guess?
Merit parrot...
Spruce goose, Apollo swallow.
I think it's the Apollo swallow, because I think Apollo sounds kind of the most like a military
call sounds sign the coolest.
Yeah.
How the fuck am I supposed to use this timer? This is the dumbest.
What's the question again?
Use H-4 Hercules aircraft, the nickname for it, made a single flight in 1947.
Okay.
I can't get this timer to work. Like, it's not letting me do anything.
You can just count to five if you want.
This is so dumb. Why can't I do this? Like, it's not even letting me. What is this happening? It's not. What? I'm sorry. This is so dumb. Okay, okay, I got. No, it's not. What is happening? All right, you have 4 seconds instead of five. Are you ready?
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. No, you have five. I got it working. Ready? Three.
Yep.
Two. One. Google.
Nickname Hercules aircraft. I spelled Hercules wrong.
Timer is expired.
Great.
Did you get anything on the page?
It isn't there.
Really? Yeah. Google didn't figure it out?
Google doesn't know. Apparently there's a lot of Hercules aircrafts.
Well, this is a Hercules H4.
Yeah, I didn't type the H4.
The use H4 Hercules.
I'm going to go with Apollo Swallow, final answer. But Google did not assist me.
Apollo Swallow is incorrect.
Damn it.
It's the Spruce Goose.
I'm doing really bad in trivia. I thought catfish had one taste bud.
Oh, are you ready for your last and final question?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm ready.
This one is geography. What country has the largest population of camels? Feral camels. Well, or otherwise, I think. Is it A, Mongolia, B, China, C, Egypt, or D, Australia?
Australia, China, Mongolia, or Egypt?
Yep.
I didn't think there were camels in Australia.
Well, maybe there are.
There might be. They have a big desert.
They do.
They have a big China's everything. Big.
China's real big.
Were Mongolia and China both options?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Mongolia is close to China. That helps you at all. Then obviously Egypt is Egypt.
Mongolia, China, Egypt. Well, Egypt is the most camel place.
It's the most stereotypical of all. It
doesn't make any sense, but...
It's the most camel-y place.
When I imagine camels, I imagine Egypt.
Imagine someone on a camel in Egypt, like, riding next to the pyramids or something like that.
Singing, like, I come from a land from a faraway place.
Aladdin.
Yeah.
You're thinking in, like, stereotypes right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Egypt is like.
That's like Egypt. Every day they sing songs from Aladdin right on camels. Yeah,
that's all they do.
Well, they had that camel, remember that camel beauty pageant? I think that was
in Egypt. That was in Dubai, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was in the UAE. Damn it.
Those are the fancy camels.
Yeah, they got the fancy camels over there in Dubai. Anyway.
All right. Egypt, China, Mongolia, or Australia. I'll 50-50 it because I don't have no idea.
Okay. It's either C, Egypt, or D, Australia. What?
I thought it was China.
Okay. No, it's harder.
Because China's big. I don't know. I thought they had camels. I heard about something called the Silk Road that kind of sounds like camels would be on it.
That's an internet thing, isn't it? No. Or no, that's the real Silk Road. Yeah.
Yeah, the old one is...
It sounds like something camels would travel.
Yeah. You can't have horses on the Silk Road.
No, it's got to be camels. They're in it for the long haul, those camels.
All right, so it was... What was it again?
Egypt or Australia? Do you have any lifelines left? I don't think you do.
No, I used them all.
You're doing real good.
All right, you've set me up to look really stupid again, because if I say Australia, you're going to be like, no, there's no camels in Australia. What are you thinking? It's Egypt. You're just singing Aladdin.
I'm like, no, dumbass, there's no camels in Australia. Oh, that's funny. Maybe they're wrong, I don't know.
I'm going to get all three wrong. That's never happened on this show.
It'll be the first time. God. Well, you might get this one right. Just dig deep. Do you want to go for the obvious one or the non-obvious one?
I'm getting into, psychology. Like, would you choose this question?
That's why I gave you these two as the 50-50.
Yeah. I have no idea. I just know that if I choose one, it's going to look really stupid.
Like, regardless of what you choose, oh, my God, no. Unless it's
Australia,
right.
Australia, final answer.
You're going with Australia?
Yes.
Australia is correct!
Yes! I'm so happy that it's...
I can't believe you got it.
I'm so happy it's not Egypt.
Wouldn't it have been real funny if it was in Australia and I was like, no, there aren't any camels in Australia, you idiot. You thought too much. You did like a reverse psychology thing there.
Yeah.
If I did China, Australia, you would have gone with China, wouldn't you?
For sure, yeah, 100%.
But see, we wouldn't have had fun in the end of thinking.
There wouldn't have been the risk of me saying, no, of course there aren't any camels in Australia.
Yeah, apparently they have camels in Australia. I don't know how they got there, but I guess it kind of makes sense. They have a lot of desert over there. They probably imported them, and then, you know how in America we bred horses a lot, and now we have a crap ton of horses?
Yeah.
Probably what happened in Australia.
Yeah, so. That makes sense.
Congratulations, you didn't get all of them wrong.
Yeah, that would have been a good episode.
Oh, that would have been a first for the show. Oh, well, it's fine. All right, do we want to end on a final would you rather before we wrap this thing up?
Sure. Would you rather have technology for Christmas or be given family and almost friends?
I guess family and almost friends, right? I don't know. Technology is fleeting. What do you think?
Well, I think it depends on the person. I already have family and almost friends.
No. Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. I meant, if I didn't have that.
Yeah, if I didn't, family and almost friends, for sure.
You got a lot of almost friends?
Yeah, tons. Actually, very few.
Can we talk? This is another topic I want to talk about on the show. I forgot about it. Do we have time? We have two minutes, right? Yeah. Okay, really quick. We can get into this in the next show, but I'll preface it here. Do you have, levels of friendship with people?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Because my levels are as follows. Okay, you ready? You got, acquaintance. That's, guy you see at work. Guy or gal you see at work and say, hi to. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Then you have, better acquaintance, almost friend. Where it's, you can have a conversation about, other stuff other than the weather. You know, occasionally, oh, that movie was good. Or did you see that or read that or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Casual conversation. And then you got, kind of friend, but also not really friend, but almost. Whereas, if you saw someone in public, you could have a conversation with them, not just say hello. And also, maybe you've hung out, randomly at some point in your life, right?
Yeah.
And also, they can talk to you, but whenever they talk to you outside of work or whatever, it's always about the same thing. For example, are you playing any good video games now? Yeah, I'm playing this. What about you? Yeah, I'm playing this. Cool. And then the next time they talk to you, it's the same kind of topic. And then finally, last year is actual friend in which you can talk to them about anything, and you bother them all the time because you're actually friends. And those are my four tiers of friendships. Yeah. And I have like a million people in the first two tiers. I'm just want to say that right now. So there you go. Do you have a similar tiering system?
I have a similar tiering system, but I maybe have like five in the bottom and like one on top, and that's all I've got.
What do you mean five in the bottom?
Like in the bottom two tiers.
Oh, the acquaintance.
I don't actually tiers? Know that many people. Yeah.
Sure. That's fair. Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there. We'll talk about that in the next episode because I think it's a very interesting topic, especially for the 21st century.
It is.
So remember, there are camels in Australia if there's something to learn from today. And the catfish have 100,000 taste buds.
Who's our sponsor today?
Oh, you're asking me?
I beat you to it.
Dang it. Crazy Lou's Camel Emporium.
When you need, Crazy Lou's.
When you need a good camel, sturdy, can carry you across the Silk Road, remember, Crazy Lou's sells the best new and used camels.
He's crazy about camels.
Crazy Lou. Remember, when you're feeling kind of down,
make a big frown.
That always helps. Good night, everyone, and drive safely.
Good night. Drive safely.